In the beginning, it was YouTube. Hey, the rainforest, let's, you know, save the rainforest. And now this is like an end around. 70% of the American people are obese or overweight. 50-year-olds don't look like me. They go through divorces. They've got Ferraris. They've got mansions. They don't have their health. Mm-hmm. And so I want to meet them exactly where they're at. Executives making big decisions for advertising and things that are messing up the world. So that's my target.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you take all the 25 to 35-year-olds that want to be ripped at 50.
Welcome to Living 4D with Paul Check. Today's guest is the certified health nut, Troy Casey. Troy began studying nutrition, herbs, and internal purification while working as a Versace model in Milan 30 years ago as a way of looking and feeling great in front of the camera. Since then, he has scoured the earth for the most powerful health and healing methods, working with indigenous tribes in the Amazon as a medicine hunter, studying the ancient Vipassana meditation technique, as well as Ashtanga yoga, and of course at the Czech Institute. He is very active on YouTube and social media, which resulted in work on the Discovery Network. And his new book, Ripped at 50, A Journey to Self-Love, is now available from all good booksellers.
Every now and then, a unique person walks through the hellfires of a traumatic childhood and addiction, only to find health and vitality and become an inspiration to millions. And you can too. Troy Casey, best known around the world as the Certified Health Nut, shares his very challenging beginnings that led him to being surrounded by family turmoil, drugs, and ultimately choosing to leave home and make it on his own at the tender age of 14. Troy shares his journey as a professional international model and all the distorted ways of living and treating oneself that the industry promotes, and how he realized that living the life of a model wasn't good for his health or his future. He not only got out of modeling, he healed himself from alcohol addiction, found herbal medicine, shamanism, healing with ayahuasca, became a leader of men's group, and a true force of health and wellness. Troy and I talk about his life challenges and how he used them to grow, and his new book, Ripped at 50. And that's not all. If your marriage is on the rocks, let Troy inspire you with what it takes to make a fresh start with your spouse after divorce, only to find love and become a happy family again. He's lively, very honest, and I'm sure this will be an inspiring journey that shows all of us what's possible when you get clear on your dream and go for it. Enjoy Troy Casey. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Living 4D with Paul Check. Today, I have a very interesting guest for you. Some of you will know him as the Certified Health Nut. He is one of the most vibrant, active, turned on, passionate people I've ever met. And he is probably the hardest guy to get to slow down in a rock garden you'll ever meet. But somehow, with all that fervor, he manages to make rock stacks that don't fall over very quick. Because I always watch the rock stacks everybody builds when they leave and see how many days they last. And that crazy stack you built in my front yard that I thought would fall over in 5 minutes lasted about 2 months. So everybody, welcome Troy Casey, the Certified Health Nut.
Yeah, baby. I'm so excited to be here.
So I was just checking with Troy how long it's been since he started taking courses with me. He said it was 2011, 9 years ago. So it seems like it's gone by very fast to me.
Yeah. I mean, in a blink of an eye.
Yeah. And a lot's happened in your life in that time.
Yeah. I met you just after my second child came, and I went through a divorce and black mold exposure, and then I got to apply all the stuff that I learned from you, and I was able to heal my body. And
good.
Yeah, man, life is amazing.
I see that. Troy pulled up in a Rolls Royce today, so life must be amazing. He's cruising. He's taking a page out of Osho's playbook.
I love it.
Even got the beard.
Yeah.
You know, we can get you a little special tan cream to get you a little darker and just slow you way down. You'd be just like Osho.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's where I'm headed, you know, honestly.
Is that right?
I'm doing some hypnosis and, just to get that wizard Zen master in there. I mean, neutrality is where it's at. I mean, I got a superconductor energy supply, and I've got to channel that. Mm. I get to channel it as I learn more patience, understanding, gentleness. Mm. And at 54 years old, yeah, I get to learn that. Otherwise, I can just be, you know, a little bouncing around like I'm 20 all the time. And that can offend people sometimes.
You know, just confuses them, I think.
Yeah. So the more I slow down and the more I slow down, especially in my interviews, and I think the better off I am. And also I get to think about my answers a little bit more.
That's always good.
Yeah.
Especially when there's a lot of people listening that are easy to polarize.
Yeah. And I think there's a good intuitive part about me too. The stuff that just comes off the top of my head, the stuff that comes out of my mouth sometimes, I don't even know where it comes from. I'm like, wow, I just said that.
Yeah, that's good. Tapping in. Well, because there's certainly going to be a lot of listeners that don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a lot that do, of course, because you've been part of the Czech tribe for a long time now, and almost everybody in there knows who you are and gets excited by your enthusiasm. And so just give us a sort of an encapsulation of your life process and what were the developmental forces and challenges and things that made Troy into Troy who he is today. And maybe share some of the people that really had a positive influence on you in your development, you know, even up till now, you know, whoever inspires you to share.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I can synopsize this pretty quickly. So
synopsize this bag of good smoke that Penny just made for us.
Yeah, baby. I love some Paul Czech smoke, man. The real deal. The real tobacco shaman here.
Well, it's a Penny Crozier bag, but Paul trained her.
She's well trained. Okay, yeah. So you know, I did a lot of research when my son came, you know, and I've been into my own development for many years and did a lot of years of meditation.
Well, where are you from? Start from that. Where were you born?
I was born in Connecticut.
Okay.
And so when I did the research when my son was coming, they say you kind of replicate some of the stuff that comes up. So I looked at my own trauma and sure enough, interviewed my parents. They were fighting in the womb. My mom was divorced and left with my stepdad to San Francisco for the summer of love in 1967. I was born in 1965. So I was in the Haight-Ashbury district early on. And I was a little nomad back then. I used to walk the streets by myself.
Wow.
And
nothing's changed.
You know, that part of me is, I think it's always there. I love being outside and on the street and talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that from 5 years old. Plus they were hippies and Haight-Ashbury and the whole, you know, that whole nine. So I came out of the box kind of thinking differently. And then I had plenty of, you know, nervous system trauma, whatever is in there with my parents fighting. And then my stepfather was in some orphanages and, you know, he was put through hell. He was a tough dude, you know, similar to your dad, but, you know, we didn't, my brother had some similar stuff like your dad. I know your story as well. So there was definitely some trauma there, but I was able to forgive him when I toured his orphanages in 2003.
That would do it.
And hearing the stories, and I was just crying, and I was just like, I forgive you, dude.
Yeah.
You know, forever and ever. And that was a big part of my healing as well. So I grew up in Connecticut and in San Francisco. And then my parents got in some trouble with the FBI, and my dad didn't want to do any time. So he left the country. And so I've been on my own since I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then they sent me out with some friends in San Francisco. I was living in Connecticut at the time. Sent me out with some friends from the Haight-Ashbury. And they were kind of doing the same thing, you know, dealing pot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it didn't take me long. I just went on my own. And then I got arrested for a sheet of acid when I was 17 and a half. And I had already been through the Marin County juvenile hall system.
Oh, wow.
So they knew me and I escaped from juvenile hall and they caught me three states away in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the question I have is how big was the sheet?
It was only 100 hits.
Well, that's enough to raise some eyebrows.
Oh man, if I was 4 months, you know, 5-6 months older, I would have been in prison.
Oh yeah,
I would have done,
especially then.
Yeah, and so I'm so grateful. My angels were looking out for me. I mean, I started lifting weights then. Got out of juvenile hall and got it back into high school. I had the best year of my high school years that last semester, and graduated, got into college. And then, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, and I just wanted to make money. And and then the modeling came my way, and I started taking pictures, moved to Los Angeles, got an agent in Italy, and moved to Milan, and did that for about 7.5 years until I realized it was fucking driving me crazy. And it was a mirror to my dysfunction, because that industry is full of dysfunction.
Sure, especially eating disorders.
Well, and you were just on Simon Rex's podcast. Simon has been successful in film, TV, music, which is a, you know, that's a very interesting one, and fashion. And he said fashion was the most screwed up business.
I've worked
out
with
there.
Quite a number of models for eating disorders.
Yep. And so, and then actually your curse is your gift.
Yes, it is. That takes a while to realize, doesn't it?
It took me 31 years. So I had digestive problems, and I used to bloat, and I used to look like a girl on her period. And the agents would be like, honey, you're fat, which basically meant no work. And I'm out there in Europe and doing my own thing, and I want to be successful.
Excuse the bag noise, everybody.
So I went down.
Part of the joy.
I went down to the American bookstore and bought a book on nutrition. It was Fit for Life, I think, was the first book. It was Marilyn Diamond and her husband.
Yeah.
She's local, San Diego. I'm friends with her on Facebook.
Neat.
30 years later, she almost ruined her hormones on the vegan diet that they were promoting.
Uh-huh.
One thing I noticed was the cleansing effect and real food. Yeah. And I was in Italy, and they had farmers markets. So there I was eating real food. That was 31 years ago. I got into herbs because I wanted to know diuretics to get the water out of my face.
Okay, yeah.
So I got into dandelion and milk thistle, and I noticed a response immediately. So I love dandelion. I took it for many years. I think that helped me when I was in my real hardcore party phase in the modeling world, because alcohol was free.
So I'm supposing that experience is what led you to your attraction to herbs and ultimately grew into your passion for supplementation.
Yes, absolutely. And then I moved to Los Angeles. I studied with Dr. Schultz. He had some wild herb company, still does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he used to use his stuff.
Great stuff.
He got arrested for helping people heal.
Curing, you know, the uncurable. So studied his literature and materials. And I used to hand out his catalogs. And people were like, what, are you trying to sell me something? I'm like, no, that has the information on your gut and your liver. And it's good information. And so... So I was used to handing out catalogs. And then 2005, I was doing a lot of spiritual work, and I met up with a group of people, and they were all working with Amazon herbs. And
that's right, yeah.
And I never put something that strong into my body electrically, you know, energetically. So I started putting those into my body, and that really helped me wake up. And then I started working in the Amazon and researching the plants, and YouTube became a new reality, and I started posting that footage. And drinking the ayahuasca with the Shipibo as well. I had three very powerful visions.
I bet.
But to back up a little bit, in my modeling career, I just got into self-sabotage. And I didn't know who I was. And I was chasing paper. And I was miserable in that industry because I had the genetics. I had the ability. I was a four-time Versace model. But I could never put my finger on the business because it was all sexually political or just some weird innuendo game or something. And so I would drink a lot. Alcohol and drugs or party scene was just every city I ever went to. So I really got absorbed into that. And then many of my friends said, Troy, you're wasting your potential. And they were partying too. So it went in and out the one ear and out the other for a while. And then I really started to look at myself. And then I started to move towards my own sobriety. It took about 4.5 years to kind of wind out of that.
That's not bad.
I mean, I guess. I mean, that's why I teach my clients now, like, self-beat-ups, just as bad of a trap as, you know, using. You might as well, not as bad as a trap, but it has its own trap. And so you might as well, you know, honor yourself, accept yourself, and pick yourself up again and again.
Well, what it does is feed the need for a form of safe love, that which is the basis of most addiction.
Right.
So the self-denial or the self-beating, as you call it, really just brings a person into lower and lower self-esteem and a sense of disconnection. And so naturally people gravitate toward any substance that gives them a sense of connection or the ability to forget about their pain. But really, that's the common theme with addiction is mm-hmm. is it's unconditional love. The bottle or the cigarette never complains how good you kiss. You don't have to write it a thank you letter after sex or send it flowers. And, you know, there's no mom and dad to tell you what you should or shouldn't be doing. So the sad part of it is that most addiction really is an attempt to find safe love.
That sounds very accurate. And I ended up finding safe love in meditation.
That's awesome.
I found S.N. Goenka and the Vipassana Institute, mm-hmm. and I sat 11 courses in silence. And that rewired my brain for sure. I mean, it was definitely a big jump off point. And at the same time, I was working with Maori healers from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And these people blew my mind. So yeah. Exorcism after exorcism, and mm-hmm. had my own exorcisms. And mm-hmm. and I've been working with them for 22 years. I learned a lot from their elders. Mm-hmm. And yeah, really just about authenticity. You know, mm-hmm. they do the Hakka dance. And mm-hmm. yeah. you know, that's their friend or foe, fight or fuck, you know. Yeah.
Kill or be killed.
Yeah, that's it. And so, and just come at it. A lot of my facial yoga is inspired from the Hakka. And so, and then the Amazon Herbs company came my way. And then I went down to the Amazon in 2006 and started drinking medicine with them. And I had another huge wake up call. And I was sitting in my bungalow late at night, high on ayahuasca, and I could hear this plane that was flying way above, and I hadn't heard a plane in like weeks. Mm-hmm. And I could tell it was like 35, 40,000 feet. It was like moving over. And I just started thinking, wow. And the Iraq war was pretty fresh, and mm-hmm. you know, and I was protesting against that and trying to figure out like what's going on here, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I realized
same thing that's going on now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Except now they're just doing it through your phone and your television and your computer.
Yeah. But I had a good vision that came out of it. So I'll share that with you in a second. So George Bush came into mind. He's dropping bombs on these people. What would it be like to be? I felt so vulnerable on ayahuasca in the middle of the Amazon, sure, you know? Yeah. And you hear a leaf rustle and you think, you know, what's going on? Is that an animal or something? Mm-hmm. And so I hear this plane way up there and I think, wow, what would that be like if, you know, they just started opening up the bomb doors and just dropping bombs. I was like, oh shit, our brothers and sisters, and your heart's wide open, ayahuasca.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm just like, God, what are we doing as a species? What are we doing as on this planet? And then
how do you think all the animals feel? Everywhere.
I mean, and I had a complete visceral experience from that. And so then I started thinking about George Bush, and I was just like, everybody hates that guy. And I was like, that guy just needs more love. So I came out with a lot of love and gratitude out of the jungle the first time.
Troy Casey is one of the most committed people I've ever met when it comes to protecting the planet, nature, natural resources, and supporting organic farmers. He and I both love supporting people to help them find top quality organic nutrition because we know organic food is not just food, it's man's best medicine. Not only is certified organic food highly nutritious, it supports your immune system and minimizes the needs for doctors and drugs. When it comes to getting great immune support, sleep support, nutrition to optimize joint health, green juices, high quality protein for the whole family, and a natural energy boost with optimal blood sugar management, Organifi is a great choice. Organifi's products are super clean, highly nutritious, and great for the whole family. If you want efficiency with optimal nutrition, you'll love knowing that all you have to do is add water, mix, and presto, you get highly nutritious satiation and satisfaction. I love Organifi's products because they travel well and are great to have on the job too. My family and my clients love Organifi, and I know you will too. Go to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And on checkout, use the code capital C, capital H, capital E, capital K 20 to get your 20% discount on Organifi purchases. To get to know Drew Cannoli, the founder of Organifi, listen to Living 4D podcast, episode 64, Drew Cannoli, UBU. I think you'll love this guy. Enjoy Organifi.
The three very profound visions that I had. One was the spirit of my daughter. I was not married. She came to me. I came home and, you know, I started interviewing the women because I was all the little children of the Amazon. They come up to you and they play with you and stuff. And in America, they don't.
Right.
So this is my first experience. And these little girls were so darling and the boys. And I was just like, oh my God. So when I came home, my intention before I set ground in the Amazon, because one of my hippie friends told me, you should set your intentions.
Yeah.
So before I set ground, I was just like, all right, open up my heart and connect with the divine feminine in all of its facets. And I got that in spades. And so the vision that I had was of my daughter. So I came home, I started my family, and that vision's been unfolding ever since. The second vision was an amalgamation of my on-camera career, my natural medicine studies, and so the Certified Health Nut was born right there in the Amazon. I laughed in the middle of the ceremony.
That's great.
I was doing stand-up comedy at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I just laughed out loud with Certified Health Nut. Came out of the jungle. YouTube was a brand new reality. I was like, I got all this digital footage from this camera. Let me just upload it.
And cool. Then
I started gaining a little bit of popularity because you had basically, you know, vegan paradigm being the utopian to health, and then young guys on steroids. And then I was in between, and you came on it about a year later.
Yeah.
And but there wasn't a lot of health guys.
No.
And I was in the Amazons. And then I had natural childbirth with my son, and that got a lot of attention. And so I was able to build a following and get the messages out there, and I continued my natural medicine studies, you know, from the meditation, nutrition. I always was into fasting. Mm-hmm. In fact, 10-day juice cleanses is what helped me with my digestion. All the inflammation went out of my mm-hmm. face. I was hooked. I did my first one 31 years ago.
Wow.
And realized that if I just fed my body with nutrient-dense materials like juicing, pre-digested, that it wouldn't tax my digestion, I wouldn't get inflamed, and I'd be fine. So intermittent fasting for 31 years as well. I started promoting that, and I put it together for a TV show, and that's where the brand and the graphics came out. And then I just kept moving forward, not really knowing what I was doing, but I no longer had to wait for Hollywood to put me on a distribution platform because there was YouTube. And
right.
So I got an audience from there, and that's been unfolding ever since gloriously. And there was a lot of painful years and a lot of free work that I did, and answering yes. people's questions and making content.
Hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of hours of free work. I've got over 550 videos, and you know, some of mine are an hour long. So people don't realize how much work that is.
Yeah. Well, and especially because you have notes and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And Certified Health Nut's been unfolding. And the last vision that I had is very clear. It's that humanity makes it from the precipice of ecological disaster that we find ourselves at, destroying the rainforest and polluting the earth with the fossil fuels. So I came home with all of that. And, you know, I was working with the Amazon Herb Company. We'd been called the solution to saving the rainforest by the Cousteau Society, or a major solution, herbs mm-hmm. that grow naturally, harvested by the Indians who steward the land naturally, mm-hmm. Will help humanity in the Western world who need it most now,
yeah.
right? Cat's claw is down there, world-renowned, anti-cancer, antifungal, mm-hmm. antiviral, the cure for AIDS and cancer is down there. And mm-hmm. so I was like promoting Amazon herbs and our solution. And I realized I couldn't compete with lumber and oil and agribusiness, cash crops, the industries, because oil exploration is what cuts the roads through the Amazon.
Right.
Once the roads are cut, the bulldozers come in there. Oh, there's no oil here. Okay, pull out. And then the lumber companies will give the natives a chainsaw and a dollar a day to go down those big roads and start felling the big trees. Once the big trees are done, they burn the bush, and that's pretty much the way the rainforest gets destroyed. And then the final thing is the cash crops, and they're growing all the soybeans and stuff.
Yeah, the corporate crops.
So I read John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, to really understand the IMF and the World Bank and how the world works and these oil wars and for natural resources and using the American military. And how the central banking is all intertwined. And I was like, ooh, this is a lot bigger than I thought, you know? And I think my funny little videos got some attention here and there, but I didn't complete the mission. And then I was talking to my mentors and business mentors, and they told me, you know, you got to chunk it down, man. You got to make it accessible for the people. And I kept getting older as well, and I started looking in the mirror, and my tissues are, you know, I don't look like your average 50-year-old guy, all right? The juicing, the fasting, mm-hmm. these things have obviously helped me. And the older I got, the more of a commodity that is.
Yes.
So I came up with it. I studied a lot of marketing, I came up with, you know, intuitive, my creative art is my everything I see, you see on social media, graphics, videos, everything. And so, you know, I realized that I needed something more. And so Ripped at 50 came to me. And then I worked with a writer who wrote The Magician's Way, and he teaches alchemy in writing. And he taught me about alchemy. And I got the subtitle, A Journey to Self-Love, because that's really what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was different facets of writing the book. I wrote the how-to, and I was like, oh God, the world doesn't need another how-to. And Paul Check's got the Bible. So so I was like, all right, they don't need another how-to. Then he told me to wake up early in the morning and kind of just write my stories and just let it free flow.
Yeah.
And I did a bunch of that, and I wrote the whole book. And then I tried to get editors to help me put it together. And you know, so many people helped me put the book together. And then it's in a nice, concise package. So this is my end around. In the beginning, it was YouTube. Hey, the rainforest, let's, you know, save the rainforest. And now this is like an end around. 70% of the American people are obese or overweight. 50-year-olds don't look like me. They go through divorces. They've got Ferraris. They got mansions. They don't have their health. Mm-hmm. And so I want to meet them exactly where they're at. Executives making big decisions for advertising and things that are messing up the world. So that's my target.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you take all the 25 to 35-year-olds that want to be ripped at 50.
Want to be ripped at 25.
Well, exactly.
There's a lot of them. I would say the grand majority of young people are really walking around in bodies that are more like old people, unfortunately. Swollen, inflamed, out of shape, unhealthy, sedentary, pills, doctors, diagnosis, attention deficit, depression, anxiety, the list is long.
The mental issues are just ridiculous right now, yeah. What's happening with people. So, you know, my way of saving the world, you know, I thought I could do it this way. I thought I could do it that way. So I just released the book. I haven't stopped with my videos. I've got over 1,000 videos.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Online and I continue to make content. And I've been doing it for so long. It's just so easy for me now.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm starting to see whether it's Great Spirit giving me some juju or just all my good work or whatever. But I was like pushing boulders uphill with holistic health. Hey, you got any scientific proof for that? Are you a doctor? And now it's like my phone's ringing off the hook and I got to hire people to help me.
That's fantastic. So a question, I don't think, maybe I've talked to you about this before. I can't remember though. When you came to the Institute and started studying there, you know, you were already into your Amazon herbs, you're into ayahuasca, you'd done fasting and
meditation.
I'm curious, what was the experience like for you going through HLC training?
Well, the way you encapsulated everything and it was systematic and so much easier and working in versus working out, metabolic typing and the fact that I did a lot better on dark meats.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I still had a lot of vegan mentality inside of me and I would still eat more plant-based. And as soon as I took HLC-1 and I started having steak and eggs for breakfast, you know, if that's the way I was going to break my fast, it went down like a charm.
Mm.
So basically, you know, and then gluten, you clued in me in the gluten piece. That was 21 years into my health journey.
Yeah.
And the inflammation vaporized.
Yeah.
And you would have think I had that piece down, but you know, that was 9 years ago. So gluten's pretty much been on the map for about the last 15 or so.
Mm-hmm.
But gluten was a big piece for me, working in versus working out, especially when I had that moldy house. When I met you, I was living in that house.
Mm.
And I had two new kids, so I thought I was exhausted from the children. But lo and behold, we had mold. And then, man, when we moved out of that house and we had so much issues and challenges in my relationship, it was such a difficult time for me. I didn't feel well. I had chronic fatigue. I had to wake up in the morning. You know, kids were a new experience for me. I had to make their lunches. My business started going down. I was successful with Amazon Herb Company. I was so successful that we brought on consultants for growth and they merged us with another company and I worked my way out of a paycheck and I had to eat humble pie because my ego was attached to that quite a bit, the Amazon. So I was devastated, man. 2013 or so, we moved out of that house. My wife and I had challenges. We moved into, we went from a beautiful 2,500 square foot penthouse to a one bedroom. And it was just,
that's tough.
It was hell, man. And the wife was so pissed at me. And I didn't know who I was either. I was confused. And I got a little doped up on the west side of Los Angeles, the spiritual movement, it's all about the divine feminine. I was like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing as a man, as a husband, as a, I didn't have, you know, teachers on that level, parents. And so, you know, I would default to my wife and I'd be like, yeah, well, she's a good business person. I was like, yeah, you know, you make that decision. And it would always be like this, you make this, and then it would fall apart. And then when I got divorced, we got divorced in 2017. When I got divorced, I said, all right, no more external inputs, no more mentors, business coaches, anything. I am going to figure this out if I have to fall on my face, period. Mm-hmm. And I surrendered. A couple of people taught me about surrender to God, and I did that, and my prayers and all the incantations you gave me from Arnold Patton. Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff like really, really helped me.
Arnold Patton's Universal Principles for those listening.
Yeah. And you gave me the original ones. The one on his website aren't as good.
No, they're not as good. That's why I give the original ones to the students.
Yeah. And I have that from 9 years ago. And so, so I forgot where I was going with that story. But
well, I was asking you what was the effect on you to go through my training in the HLC program. Did you do any of the Czech practitioner training?
No. And so this is what happened. So 2013, I finished HLC 3 in 2012. And then I had to go to work on myself.
Yes. Right? Which is what I encourage everyone to do from the beginning.
And I asked you for advice and, you know, I don't always like asking you for advice, but whatever little advice you've given me, I was just like, all right, I'll just listen to that. And so you helped me get out of the house. You know, I didn't want to move my family. I'm like, fuck. And Paul said, if it was me, I'd get out. And I knew how much it was affecting my health. And so I just got out. I had pneumonia 1 year. I had five upper respiratory infections.
I've seen seriously bad cases of fungal mycotoxin poisoning from mold in houses. I remember one time I had a guy that was a kind of a athlete bodybuilder type, real muscular, and he had taken one of my courses, and when he took the course, he was quite healthy and strong. I mean, he was a studly looking guy, you know, probably 6 feet tall, lots of muscle. I mean, kind of a model type, but well built, kind of a Tarzan type, you know. And then he came back for another HLC course and he said, I need to hire you. I'm really having a hard time. And I could see he'd lost a lot of muscle. He looked very pasty, very sickly, you know? Mm-hmm. And so long story made short, once he hired me to be his therapist and I analyzed his paperwork, I immediately suspected fungal mycotoxin. So I was coaching him, those days, I think I was doing it by phone, but I said, I want you to go look around your sinks and look into your bathroom. Do you need to see any black mold, any black spots or little dots of black? And he said, I see it everywhere. It's all over by the sink. It's in the showers. I said, now, do you smell? I said, do you know what mildew smells like? That kind of old house, funky, half wet smell. He said, yes, the whole house smells like that. So I said to him, you need to get the house checked for fungal mycotoxins professionally, but the fact that you can see it means you got it. I'm just curious how bad it is. And I've had this happen to me several times. He had to hire three different companies, and every one of them told him there was no fungus, no mold in the house. And I'm like, well, you just told me on the phone, you're looking right at it. He said, yes, I pointed out to them. And I said, well, I'm curious, who hired them? He said, oh, my landlord. Well, of course. So finally, I had to have him hire an independent investigator come in, and he had
$700 or $800.
Yes, and he had, you know, I don't know what it was, 2,000 times the safe limit of fungal mycotoxins in the environment. And so he actually it was his condo, but it was one of those homeowners associations. But anyhow, he had to have the place completely gutted.
Yeah.
They had to take the carpets out. Yeah, they had to take the carpets out. They had to open up the walls. They had to dry the place out. And the thing that triggered me was, I said, is any of your house below the ground? He said, yes, there's a cellar and you know, it's got a window so you can see at the ground level. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I bet you the water is leaking right through the concrete into the house and it's just turning your whole house into a cement sponge and a fungal factory. But anyhow, he had to spend, I don't know, probably $80,000 to rehab the house or more. I think he lived somewhere in the Midwest, which would have been like 160,000 here. And I've had many, many cases like that prior to
you telling me what your symptoms were, which is how I already knew what I was looking for. But it's serious shit, man. It can really fuck you up.
Yeah, well, I know you're going to do Dave Asprey's podcast. He made a movie called Moldy. Are you aware of that?
No.
Yeah, so he got injured. That's kind of what got him into health.
Hi, everybody. You know, apple cider vinegar is like a panacea that's been shown through all sorts of research to help with just about anything. And I personally love the stuff. I found it very, very beneficial on many levels. And Paleo Valley's apple cider vinegar complex is absolutely awesome. And I've got Autumn Smith, their founder, here right now to tell you why it will be a great addition to your life. Autumn, what is it about your cider vinegar complex that we should all know about?
Well, I created the apple cider vinegar complex because I was on a mission to not only live as long as possible, but to feel amazing when I did that. And I learned about apple cider vinegar's incredible ability to help keep our blood sugar very nice and stable, which is one thing we know people who live long, healthy lives have. And then I added organic cinnamon and organic ginger and organic turmeric, all that have different benefits of their own, from anti-inflammatory properties to brain benefits. And we put them all into capsules so that you could take it and then have your digestion feel better. You could have more energy. You could avoid the ups and downs all day long because you have that nice, stable blood sugar. And of course, another interesting side is that apple cider vinegar may actually be able to help your body break down glyphosate. So there are so many different ways that you can use this product and reasons that you might. And the reason it's so important to me is because I want food to be used as medicine. And so we can encourage our bodies to do all of these amazing things simply by the addition of the apple cider vinegar complex.
Well, I also love that you have ginger in there because it's a very effective anti-parasitic. And today, with the amount of processed food people are eating, it's a really good idea to have some ginger in your diet. So I love this product myself. I use it every morning. And Autumn, where can people get it and what's their discount?
You guys can all save up to 15% off with the checkout code CHECK. That's lowercase C-H-E-K 15. And I just wanted to mention too, the number one thing I hear from people is that this complex helps them reduce cravings. So I hope you all love it.
Yes. So go to Paleo Valley, PaleoValley.com and get your 15% discount. And I hope you love it as much as I do.
So I figured, you know, if any of my holistic health stuff works, my natural medicine stuff works, then I'm going to cure myself. And so it was in that temporary house right after we moved out. We moved like five doors down and it was a stable environment. Kids were young. They started going to school. My business was going down. I had brain fog.
Yeah.
My wife's like, make more money. I'm like, oh, I was like really losing my cookies. Then my business went down and she's in the fashion industry. She's very good at what she does. And she quit from the success in my business. And then after Athena came, she started getting worried and fearful and she went back to work. And I said, all right, I got this. I'll take care of the kids. I don't want to farm them out to nannies. But let me tell you, when the masculine feminine roles are switched, I think there's a primal instinct where, you know, they'll put up with it, but there was a certain level that she didn't appreciate that. First of all, I respect what women got to do.
Yes.
Holy shit. I can't do that. Hormonally, yeah. I cannot do that.
No.
They fried my nervous system. The women have like an extra hormone for kids.
Yeah, well, they got a lot of things we don't have, like 30% more fibers connecting the left and right brain hemisphere so they can process a lot more information. They have much greater natural intuition and instinct, and they're wired to those kids like nobody's business because they're built out of their bodies. So they have like a direct bat phone. That's why they don't even need to see the kids and they know when the kids are getting in trouble. But men, our genes are in there, but until we get quite deep into our own spiritual development and really can find our feminine, then we can find those skills there. But still, a woman's hormonal structure, body structure and brain structure are different enough from a man that it's very, very hard for a man to take over the role of a woman, and any man that can do it, my hat's off to him.
Man, I played Mr. Mom and you know, that almost broke me. And then, so bottom line is I had chronic fatigue. I was wiped out, man. And as much rest, I mean, I don't have a regular job, so I can rest during the day, but as much rest as I get, it just didn't matter. I wake up every day so fucking tired. And I just got in the cold shower. Mm-hmm. And then I went outside barefoot and did whatever rudimentary Zen swing or just whatever, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And I was consistent. I did a couple 100-day gongs since you challenged me in HLC 2. Mm-hmm. And then it just started hybriding, and I liked the feeling. I was like, wow, this is pretty mellow. This is cool, and it feels good, and it looks cool. And I was like, wow. So the Qigong is a fundamental thing that really helped me. Later on, I ended up doing some hydrogen peroxide therapy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm big on urine therapy, and I think that helped me as well. Mm-hmm. And just nutrition on point, sleep. I don't mess with my sleep. So before I started studying with you, I was knocking out editing late at night. And,
yes.
and after Troy came, my first baby, the kids, they disrupt everything. So nighttime, that's when I'm, I would get to bed 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock editing videos. And when I started studying with you, the buck stopped there. It's been 10 PM. It's been my target since 2011.
That sets you up for all kinds of problems.
And I don't mess with that. And when I do, I get a sleep hangover. It's like gluten.
Yeah.
Sleep hangover, gluten hangover, like I don't mess with it for that specific reason because I know what my body does. Don't mess with your sleep, guys.
No, it's sacred, especially in an environment like we're in with the pandemic and all the confusion and the racial tensions and all the kind of chaos in the world. You know, the more of a stress reaction we have, the more adrenaline and cortisol we pump up into circulation, and the more overstimulated we get, and the more our consciousness goes to constantly looking for threats in the environment, and the less creative we get. So because sleep is so essential to the growth and repair and regeneration of the body and the nervous system, and which includes the brain, as a person loses sleep, their anabolic capacity goes down, 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 down. Stress is like fire. So what do you do when you have a house on fire and there's no water around? You watch it burn down. But waking up to the fact that we're the ones fanning the flames on ourselves and realizing, well, the world's always been metaphorically fucked up. There's always a battle. There's always a crisis. And as long as I've been alive, there's been something going on, right? And if it's not a war, it's a crisis or a political crisis or a Watergate or a, you know, there's always something going
Iraqi
on.
War, Iraqi one war, and two.
You know, all of it, right? 9-1-1. Just the world is the way it is, which you and I have talked about before, and I've explained that. But most people don't have enough depth of understanding or knowledge to really look at the world for what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it'd be like a mother of a teenager going to a boxing gym and not realizing for the last 5 years he's been taking boxing lessons, and she shows up to his first fight and she's watching him bleeding out of his nose and his mouth, and she's like, oh my God, all they do is kill each other in here. What in the world is my son doing? But not really being able to make the connection to the fact that it's a sport. And for men, it's very, very important to their developmental process to move into this stage of development as a warrior, which is necessary to become a man. And so most parents can't see that. So if a person's not aware of what's really going on, then everything seems terrible. You know, in other words, she doesn't think her son's in a sport. She thinks some guy's beating him up in a ring, and she's like, why is he in there? You know? And so when we realize that the constant churning of our physical, emotional, and mental and spiritual environments are really inherently part of how the world functions and why it's here, then you can start to prioritize, okay, what is really worth me being afraid of? And, you know, there's an old saying, I'll see if I can get it right. Lord, give me the wisdom to change what I can, and to know what I can't.
And there's the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the wisdom to, what is it? Grant me the wisdom to, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to bastardize it, but it's so fundamental. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm referring to.
And that's all perception. It's all an inside job.
It is an inside job, and it's a never-ending inside
that's
job.
That's correct.
You know, and this is an interesting point, because a lot of people have this sort of weird, confused kind of commercial new age impression that one's a person's enlightenment, that everything's perfect in their life and they don't have to deal with problems, and somehow they're just dialed into God and they're just in a full state of bliss all the time. But people don't know that enlightenment is a never ending process. Mm. It's just a never ending process. And I describe it to people as this way. Have you ever tried to reach the horizon?
Yeah.
What happens when you try to reach the horizon?
It's endless.
It keeps moving away from you, right? So the more you experience of God, and the more deeper the questions you ask, the further the horizon keeps moving, right? And the paradox is the highest state of enlightenment is to become one with God, and then you don't even know you've done it, because there's no subject-object relationship anymore, and you don't even know you're alive. You can experience yourself as pure awareness or pure being, but you can't remember what happens there, because there is no two there. There's only one there. So the only thing you can remember is what happened on the way in and what happened when you came out of it.
Right.
Which means now you're in a duality and you're in mind and you're trying to describe the indescribable.
Right.
So the point that I'm making is people think enlightenment is being one with God. And I say, yeah, well, guess what? When you're one with God, there's nothing to know. There's nothing to do. And that's the principle of wei wu wei, action without action. That's the mystery. How does that happen? And so to solve that mystery is never a never-ending process.
Mm.
Because to solve it, you have to be in duality.
Right.
And whenever you're in duality, you always have the question, what happens behind this? So you see, you can't really, you cannot resolve that.
Yep.
Because you see, the only thing you can know about God becomes an idea about what God wants or what is.
Mm-hmm.
But when you enter into God, you can't have ideas, because now you're in a duality, and the duality is a product of the unity. So when you're in the state of unity, there is no duality. So there's no mind.
Nothing to talk about.
There's nothing to talk about. And there's not even a self to know, because to know yourself, like to know yourself, requires a duality.
Right.
By definition, being conscious means that you're aware that you're aware. Right? Are you aware that you're aware of yourself right now?
Yes.
That means you're conscious. But that consciousness depends upon a unity to underlie it. So if you go behind who's aware that he's aware, you get to pure awareness without subject-object relationship. And there you cannot be aware of anything, because to be aware of something requires a duality. And so the problem is that the duality presented as what God wants in Christianity is different than it is in Islam, is different than it is in Judaism, is different than it is in Buddhism, is different than it is in Hinduism, is different than it is in Sufism, is different as it is in Jainism, or is different as it is in Shinto. And so everybody argues and fights that they've got the right ideas about God, and, oh, I'm enlightened yet, but so am I. Yeah, but you're all missing the point. You know, that's why I often quote, if you put 12 enlightened people at a round table with a multicolored bouquet of flowers in the middle and ask them all what they're seeing, even though they're enlightened, they will all tell you they're seeing something different.
Hmm.
Because the guy over there sees black flowers, the guy over here sees white flowers, that guy sees red one, that one sees yellow, and they're not seeing what the other guy's seeing. So they start arguing, wait a minute, you can't be seeing that, but they don't realize they're all right.
Right.
And if you realize we're all right, then we'd get rid of a lot of our hassles. And if we also realize that we're just as wrong as we're right, we'd be more open to each other's opinions. And we'd all say, hey, what are you seeing over there? I've got black flowers over here. Oh, I got white ones over here. Hey, well, let's mix them all together and make something even more beautiful out of it. And that's what the modern level of consciousness. That's when you realize, okay, I got to stop fighting over the flowers, and we got to start mixing them together so we can actually see what the other person sees. And so there's a stage of conscious development right there. So it's kind of an interesting, I only brought that up because, you know, this whole search for enlightenment is such a new age concept, but it's also so confused by people that don't really even know what they're searching for, which means it makes it even harder to find it.
Yeah, and I've got a good friend. Maybe you know, maybe you've got his book, but he shot National Geographic Sacred Sites. He owns sacredsites.com, but he converted to Islam for 10 years so he could shoot Mecca. So all the National Geographic Mecca photos are done by him. He was looking for enlightenment. He was, you know, top juggler, top runner, top rock climber, top runner, swimmer, everything. You know, he had to be the best.
Yeah.
And so he wanted enlightenment. He asked God for enlightenment. Well, God chucked him off a 70-foot cliff, and he broke all his hands, and he's had to deal in his face and ankles, and he fell like a cat last second. He's like, oh, I should fall like this intuitively to protect his spine. And he's had to deal with that. And he's like, oh, yeah, I don't want that, you know, type of enlightenment anymore. I'm cool, you know.
You know,
doesn't want enlightenment like that, I should say.
Do you still have access to him?
Yeah. You'd love him. He's an anthropologist and a writer.
Ask him if he's ever listened to or read the second book of the Tao by Stephen Mitchell.
Okay.
The second book of the Tao by Stephen Mitchell.
Okay.
Stephen Mitchell goes into the Taoist approach to being in a crippled body, and I think he'll find it quite freeing.
Mm.
It's quite good.
Mm. He's got functionality back to of his stuff, but he definitely got a spiritual can of whoop ass sprayed all over him. Mm-hmm. And
that's called cracking the cosmic egg. Let's you know, there's an old saying: the reason God allows our hearts to break is so the love will begin to ooze out.
Yes. Well, I'm seeing all these stories you're saying. I mean, that's basically what I've been through, you know, the last, you know, especially 7 years, because there was a lot of fire, 7-8 years.
Yeah.
And, yeah, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I'm stronger, clearer. I'm a better man. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm clear on my masculine, feminine roles. Not that women can't do whatever they want. Go ahead and do that. But they're important. Their job as a mother nurturer of the children, you can't replace that.
No, and what's happened in many ways is as they've become more caught up in competing with men and as people have been suckered into spending more money than they make and got on the treadmill of debt, and women have spent less and less time mothering and more time working like a man.
And what happened to the food, Paul?
Yeah, the food, well, it went the same way it would when a woman's not around. The same thing happened.
It's not your fault, ladies. It's not your fault, but...
Well, the same thing
happened. It's there.
Just to show what happens to the food when women are around during both world wars, and I've got books right here in my library documenting this, whenever the men had to go to war to fight in the war, the women had to take over the farms. And in every country they did research on this, they found that crop production went up significantly when women ran the farms. Mm. Why? Because they related to the plants as living beings and the men treated them like objects.
Mm.
So the point that I'm making, you said, what about the food? I'm saying when the women detach themselves from food, be it as a mother or as a farmer, the experience of eating changes.
Mm.
And the choices become far more oriented towards what's quick and easy.
Convenient. Yeah.
What's convenient. And what's convenient isn't convenient.
Hmm? That's,
that's the problem. Hello, everybody. All of us at the Czech Institute are excited about releasing our new Golf Performance Specialist online training program, and we're happy to be able to offer you a chance to pre-order the course and get a special $100 first access discount, which is available right now. I developed the Golf Performance Specialist program myself because there was no program in the world that offered a holistic, integrated approach to assessing the golf athlete and getting them balanced, healthy, and performing better. Through my career as a rehabilitation and performance specialist, I've worked with a long string of golfers that were injured and suffering performance plateaus that weren't getting results until I applied the integrated, holistic approach I share in the Golf Performance Specialist program, which teaches you how to customize your programs to each individual's needs. Most of them caught in the traditional mindset of trying to adjust swing faults by modifying their stance or buying new golf clubs only spent thousands of dollars that didn't help their game. But after applying the principles and practices I teach in this program, came to fully realize that it's the golf athlete that plays the game, not the club.
Not only does having this specialized training give you the skills to work with some of the most commonly injured athletes and enthusiasts, it gives you access to millions of people that have the finances to afford your expertise. Regardless if you're a physician treating sports injuries, a physical therapist, chiropractor, osteopath, massage therapist, conditioning specialist, or a player that wants to optimize performance, this course teaches you key assessments and how to address common muscle imbalance syndromes, identify and activate inhibited muscles, optimize core function, and clearly shows you how to progress the player through the essential stages of flexibility, stability, strength, and power development. To pre-order your e-learning course now and receive a special $100 off first access discount, go to checkinstitute.com/GPS online. That's checkinstitute.com/GPS online. I know you're going to enjoy this course. It's very powerful, very holistic, and it works extremely well. Troy, you were telling me earlier about that you have a keen interest in a healthier soap. Can you expand on what this healthier soap is? Because I'm always learning about something new and interesting from you.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, nothing's new underneath the sun. And I saw a great video with John Lennon just before he died and how he was trying to, I think it was marketing War Is Over If You Want It for the new year with Yoko Ono. And he was just talking about ushering in peace like new and improved soap. He said the Beatles used marketing and marketing's very effective. And So that's ultimately what I'm doing is ushering in peace on earth, calling it forth alchemically and utilizing my voice for that. I mean, the coronavirus right now has got everyone at least conscious to a certain degree, more than they were before 3 months ago. And so, and people are worrying about the New World Order and Bill Gates and forced vaccinations and AI and 5G.
Those are all things worth worrying about.
I mean, they are.
They're worth thinking about.
They're worth thinking about. And then I think my methodology is to raise human consciousness, get people's attention enough, and then start talking into existence our new systems that are harmonic and beneficial for human beings aligned with biomimicry.
Yeah.
Life creates conditions conducive for life.
Yeah.
And so that is my methodology. I'm just using coyote medicine, my stand-up comedy, my sense of humor. And now I'm 54 years old, and obviously I've maintained some level of my tissues, and obviously the holistic health works to the degree that I'm living it.
Yeah,
and I understand that the Wright brothers wanted to fly like an eagle, and everybody said they were crazy. So
they told Henry Ford he was crazy. They told me I was crazy when I brought out the Swiss ball, and I could give you a long list of Paul's crazies. Paul's crazy when he's eating as a vegetarian. Paul's crazy when he wears Tai Chi pants. He's a hippie now. Paul's crazy because he's got two wives, and it never ends, right? Anything that goes out of the consensus norm is labeled as crazy until it becomes a fad or a fashion.
Yeah, so that's all I'm doing is making it in fashion. Yeah. Life affirmative principles, organic food, clean water, clean air. I think we can change the money system as well. Peter Diamantis, who's in business with Elon Musk, he owns Singularity University. He's talking about a world beyond capitalism within the next 10 years. You can find that on YouTube. Michael Tellinger in the Ubuntu movement, the Zulu word for contributionism. So it's already in the template of man. Same thing with free energy. Tesla was onto it. They were onto cold fusion in the 80s. These are already ideas in the mind of man so they can get grounded on earth. So we just have to speak them into existence and come to terms with what's essential in air, water, and soil. As far as I can see, that's what makes human life possible and hospitable for the 8 billion people that are on the planet.
That and sunlight.
Yes.
And space.
Yes.
Earth, water, fire, air, and space. That's the foundation of the whole matrix.
That's right. And I think right now we're not being great stewards of the water, the oil, and the air, and the soil. And so so that's all I'm calling forth and utilizing the gifts the Creator gave me, my good looks and my good physique, and showing people what's possible. This book's not about me and my little physique and what I could do at 50 years old. This is about as above, so below, the natural law of correspondence. How do we expect the world to be healthy if we're not healthy ourselves?
Yeah,
I'm a 54-year-old man. I can look like this. So if you apply some of these principles, you can get in alignment with nature as well. And I think that we can all heal the world that we live in.
Yeah.
And that's my That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, if we don't, Mother Nature will, but
that's correct.
When her immune system kicks in full gear,
achoo,
you might be caught in the massive
super volcano.
Diarrhea or vomiting or quivering and shaking and rocking and rolling, and you know, it's already beginning, but you know, it's all part of the journey, you know.
The big cosmic joke.
Well, yeah, it's a cosmic joke for sure, but it's also a love story. It's also a drama. It's also an action flick. It's also a murder mystery.
Tragedy.
You know, tragedy. And, you know, it's...
God playing God.
It's God doing what God does, which is exploring everything to figure out what it is. And the answer is always yes. So just... Be careful what you wish for.
That's right. That is the truth. And I have to tell you, I wished for better business for many years and did all the work around it. And eventually I had to surrender. And now I realize the power of my own mind and intention and saw what I did with my family. And, you know, I remarried my ex-wife on ayahuasca last year.
Right. Yeah. We're going to talk about that. And I'd like to hear about that because there's a question related to that I wanted to ask you. But so what was it about? What was the experience in the ayahuasca ceremony? Was it more than one ceremony or one that particularly tipped the tables in that direction?
Well, the healing really started. We got divorced in 2017 and, you know, just normal fighting like cats and dogs. I mean, now that I'm not married to her, I didn't want to take more shit from her, but I just found myself in, you know, a texting battle with her all the time. And I did some 5-MeO-DMT with one of my shamans down in Los Angeles. And I was working with a client. It was her session, but I had done a little bit of it. And I came out of that session going, whatever my 50% of the fuck you texts, eliminate that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get messages in ceremony. You don't always put them to action. This one I put into action. And a month later, she was being pissy with me. And I go, well, you know, I've made a little shift here. Have you seen it at all? And she's like, yeah, but don't expect anything from me. And the next week, she started drinking ayahuasca with some Waldorf parents.
Neat.
And then she started opening up so much more. I mean, look, that's the heavy lifting right there.
They obviously don't know Rudolf Steiner's philosophy on things like that, but that's okay.
Hey, man, whatever works in this day and age.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, but she came online. You know, she's Korean, so they've got all that stuff in her DNA. They're, you know, they're one generation off the rice, you know, farm plantations, and the children used to die. I heard of the stories. Very important when the kids are one, they have a big celebration because most kids didn't get to one in their previous. So she's got all that hardcore, like, she's silent, man, happy or sad, she looks the same.
Yeah.
And so she bottles a lot of that stuff up. So this started to unravel that, which was great. And I really prayed for her healing. And I prayed for peace between us. When I would wear, you know, when I got divorced, I spent a lot of time with myself. I spent a lot of time meditating, reading my incantations, Arnold Patton. And then I was just like, what's the penultimate? So that's where my head goes these days. Go, give me the zero point. So I want peace. And so peace with me, peace with her, peace and love. And I just want to get along with her. Like, just like we were married, but we don't have to be married. That's fine. And so then she wanted to do medicine with me. And so I turned her on to my 5-MeO-DMT shaman. And she had an incredible experience. And then she wanted to do it with me together. And I went down and I went to the zero point. It took me, I think I did it 15 times and never went to the zero point.
Mm-hmm. That's normal for guy with a head like yours that's moving at the speed of light.
And so I finally went there and I was like, oh, I came out of there going, oh. In fact, the shaman said my eyes and mouth were like wide open, just going, wow. Mm-hmm. And then I unwound and I got some more stuff in my Qigong movements.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. I just figured some stuff out. And then I came out of that and we were cool. And then the book really wanted to come out. I've been working on it for 4.5 years. And I was like, it's going to come out this year. And then she was helping me and she really wanted to get away from her business downtown, which was killing her. She did the business out of fear and it was killing her. And I said, well, look, I can hire you. I'm in a position to hire you right now and you can help me. And then we got back into our little like relationship battles. And I'm like, I'm cool. I'm running my business now. I don't want to break it. I'm going to make all the decisions. You can either help me or, but as far as creative, like battles, like I put the stop to that and really just got my nuts back in place, mm-hmm. you know, got clear, mm-hmm. beard came out, mm-hmm. and I was doing a lot of the South American hape at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that cleared up whatever mycotoxins were left in my brain.
Good old tobacco helpers.
Holy shit, man. And so for a year and a half, you know, I had a good run with it and my business just soared. My brain got clear. So then I got a media exchange for Brandy and Jerry's place down at Rhythmia. And I asked, she was working with me. I said, you know, see if we can bring the divorce couple down and we'll film that. And if we get some results, you know, it'd be good media. And they pitched it to them and they were like, yeah, sure, no problem. And so we went down as a married couple, not intending to get married. And, we were starting to talk, but being 50 years old and going out on Tinder and Bumble, and I thought I was free, right?
Mm, yeah.
And then you start having sex and mm. you start having sex with 50-year-old women or, you know, something close to that. There's no free lunch. I learned that at 50.
Yeah.
You know, the energetic exchange, you know, towards the end, I just basically went celibate because I was like, I just came out of a divorce. I don't want another headache. And
yeah.
you have sex with someone, you get their emotional entanglement. And so I was like, all right, time out. And then when we started getting closer, I said, look, we got to have a big conversation because we were together for 12 years. We got divorced for 2. So, you know, we're going to have to, you know, get clear on this. And she said, well, let's do some medicine. I said, all right, we'll go down to Rhythmia. And I was going to get out my yellow legal pad and everything and my values and your values. And this is it. And none of that happened. We just started drinking medicine. And I saw on the menu, there was a marriage ceremony. And I was just, I love this woman and she's a good woman. And we've got a family. I'm married to her no matter what.
Yeah.
For at least, you know, the next 9 years till my daughter becomes an adult. But we're together forever, you mm-hmm. know, basically. So I went to the shaman and asked them, and they, of course they offered the ceremony and it was beautiful. And there wasn't a lot of talking, you know, and then we came home and she's doing a lot of hypnosis with Marissa Peer right now. And she took HLC as well.
Oh, really?
Last year. Yeah. She's
great. I think she was in one of Angie's classes.
I think she did it online.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
So, She's doing amazing and she's showing up for her shadow where me, I was just the target to pin it on. It's your fault.
Well, I'm sure there's a bilateral arrangement going on there.
Yeah. And I've got plenty of shit to deal with. So, I mean, so it's good to have her take responsibility for where she's at and the healing. And she's been doing medicine every month for, you know, last year and a half, 2 years now.
It's good.
And that's good for her. And the hypnosis is really helping her because she's finding out that, oh my God, you know, she had a nanny when she was younger that treated her wrong or something. And then she got angry at her father because they left her home with a nanny. I mean, you know, it's deep.
Yeah.
Child traumas are deep, but if you're not willing to look at it at all at a 0%, and then all of a sudden you're looking at it, she's making leap years in her growth.
That's awesome.
I'm very, very proud of her. And she looks better. She looks healthier. She doesn't have to work her job that was killing her.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
If you had to encapsulate what you've learned about relationships through all this into a couple of bullet points that would be universally applicable for all the listeners, because a lot of them right now listening are going to be in challenging relationships. It's just a human condition. So if you could say, here's my top 2 or 3 tips for you, that ultimately, you know, when you use those, it keeps your relationship in a state of harmony. What would they be?
Well, the first and foremost thing is awareness is the first step. Is my thing. So awareness is the first step. You're aware. Okay, great. And understand that this is your sacred mirror. This is exactly what's looking back to you. Everything that you love in that person is what you love in yourself, and the things that you don't like in yourself, or it's a catalyst to make you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I see this in my own patterns. I went through my other relationships and how I repeat things. And so get off porn. That's another tip. So I did that about 6 months, 8 months before we got together. And what that did for me was it made me more primal to love the one I'm with.
Yeah.
Instead of looking, you know, at other bubble butts and just having that idea, that conditioning. Now, I'm an intelligent human being. I've heard plenty of times that porn affects you, but I just say, you brush it off. I grew up with it since I was 12. Mm-hmm. And so I think getting off porn gets that primal instinct in you to love the one that you're with, to honor the one with you with. And if you want sex, you can't flip on the computer. You actually got to romance a stone, mm-hmm. which is a little bit of work. So you might have to put your ego aside or get her some flowers or make her feel good. And then, you know, it becomes a symbiotic relationship instead of just a sex act. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a huge catalyst for me.
What do you mean by romance a stone? Because right now there's a lot of women that are getting irritated.
just romance your woman.
Yeah.
You know, the sweet talking and the, I think as a guy, I'm a guy, you know, I like to have raw sex.
Yeah.
And, you know, the women don't always like that.
No.
You know, they like a softer touch and a little sweet talking, maybe some dinner or whatever. So I'm more attentive to her and I'm more attentive to her needs. And, you know, I can't solve all her problems, but I'm much more attentive to her. And I don't have, you know, the pornography in my mind. So she's just like the focal of my attention.
Troy Casey and I are big believers in using enzymes to aid digestion, speed recovery from exercise, keep the body clean inside to support your immune system, and enhance overall vitality. Bioptimizer's Masszymes are excellent for supporting digestion, and their P3OM prebiotic is one of my trusted guardians for whenever I feel like I've been exposed to pathogenic bacteria, such as food poisoning. They have detoxification support, a parasite kill formula, and their CAPEX enzymes help digest fats and flesh foods while naturally stimulating your metabolism to help keep your energy levels up and your body looking great. If you feel tired or know it's time to cut back on the coffee, tea, or other stimulants, try CAPEX enzymes to enhance digestion, liberate more energy, and stimulate the cellular energy production naturally. I use their products every day, and every client I've turned them on to loves them, hands down. Go to bioptimizers.com/living4d. That's bioptimizers.com/living4d. And on checkout, use the code PAUL10, lowercase P-A-U-L 10, to get your 10% discount on any purchase. I know you're going to love the products. I use them every day, and they really do work.
To love the one you're with, awareness is the first step. It's a sacred mirror that mm-hmm. you're looking into.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship is a catalyst to look at your shadow and mm-hmm. see where you may be out of balance and then work to integrate that. And the final one is forgiveness and letting go of resentment.
Yeah.
And a lot of your resentments are coming from your childhood traumas anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. And just program biases and the ego's, you know, got it like a bulldog that won't let go of a tire, even though it's about to get its neck snapped with regard to always trying to prove that it's right or get its own way. So for a relationship to really work, there has to be, the ego has to become porous enough to realize what a relationship is, or you just maintain individuality while you're trying to have a relationship. And it leads to, problems, because if the intimacy doesn't progressively create a bridge between your hearts, mm-hmm. then it creates polarity. You go from mm-hmm. good sex to good battles.
Right.
And so the relationship right. is two individuals desperately trying to be right and get their own way while they're desperately trying to have connection and mm-hmm. have love and safety with the person. So you mm-hmm. you kind of get a very strongly polarized situation where you're going from sex, making up, feeling good, okay, we're all over this now, to God damn it, you know, whatever comes out of your mouth after that.
Yeah.
Winding up. And the next thing you know, you have two completely radical individuals that act like they hate each other. And then when that gets lonely and boring and you realize it's messing the kids' heads up, all of a sudden you find your way back to love. But that sometimes goes on for years and years in people's mm-hmm. lives because they don't realize all real relationships are about compromise. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. in order to effectively compromise in a relationship, you have to do something that isn't really common in our culture, because our religious programming is one in which we're taught to get the love of God or to be like Jesus. You always have to give everything to everybody else. Mm-hmm. So you always put everybody else first, like a good Christian, right? So care for your mom, care for your family, care for your friends, care for people. But in the meantime, you're not taking care of yourself. So what happens is people start getting frustrated and angry. So the real disciplinary shift for a good relationship is being clear on what you need to do to fill yourself up with love so that you actually have authentic love to share with your partner. And the real compromise in a relationship is sitting down and saying, okay, Angie, what do you need to feel good about being Angie every day? Penny, what do you need to feel good about being Penny? Paul, what do you need to feel good about being Paul? Or in your case, what does Troy need and what does your wife need? And then you say, okay, well, if I get that, it means there's nobody to watch the kids. So how are we going to do that? And they say, well, how about then if I get that at a different time of day? And in other words, you go through this process of finding out how do we make a compromise, knowing that we're giving each other the opportunity to nourish themselves so they feel supported and they feel grounded in themselves. And then they have a genuine experience of something to give instead of needing to get something from us to make them happy, feel connected, right. Feel loved.
Right. And we're going through that process now. And I think there was a lot of expectation to make for me to make her happy, the Prince Charming element. And that got played out. She was very angry at me for the sum total of everything. And so right now, what I told her, she never has to work again. And I said, your job is just to feel good, take care of yourself, get whatever rest, go to the gym, do whatever you need so that you're present and available for the children. And that's the that's the most important thing. And through the divorce, I realized all the non-negotiables for myself. I need to be on my bicycle daily. I need to be in the grass, grounded. I need to do some kind of movement. I need to go out and socialize with people. Mm. Like these are all not, I figured it out clear. Mm-hmm. Hence the beard. It was just like, I just let it grow. And then people are like, you'll make more money if you shave. And actually you're wrong. And cause I had that commercial, model actor look for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I just let it hang out because I was in a stage where things just weren't working anymore.
Yeah.
And, so I got my non-negotiables now down now, and we're 6 months into our remarriage, maybe 8 months, and she's finding out what she's still waking up thinking she's got to do something.
Well, it takes a while, man. She's spent her whole life that way. She's coming from a Korean culture that's used to being head to elbows in the grease and grinding the stone and making it all happen, and that's a completely different mindset. I can understand it because my father was a German military officer that would kick your teeth out for looking sideways or asking can I go to football today? And so it takes a long time to heal that. And I think that's one of the gifts of the medicine is it really accelerates the opening of the heart and the integration of our energy field and the ability to forgive ourselves and others and the realization of the fact that inside of all our pain, love is there in seed form, all of our pains are really the seeds of the opportunities for love and forgiveness and growth. But it takes...
I'm so grateful for all the pain that I've been through, Paul.
Yeah.
I am so fucking grateful.
That's why I call it the pain teacher.
And let me tell you, it's been painful. I mean, losing my business, black mold. I was crying, man. I was like, I'm losing my cookies.
Yeah.
Troy Casey, certified health nut.
Yeah. I know the... That's why I had to stop traveling. I was burning out. I know you've done some work with men's groups quite a bit. And I'm curious, because I know Elliot Hulse has also done a lot of work with young men. I think he still is. What are you finding out there? Give me the sort of the inside scoop as a man that runs men's groups. What's challenging men today?
I mean, it's a really beautiful thing working with men, because men don't need much and they carry so much with them.
Just want food and sex, generally.
I mean, that's pretty much it.
They'll work all day if you feed them and make love to them. You know, I mean, I'm simplifying it a bit, but
it's pretty much it, because I've narrowed that down for myself.
Yeah, I mean, if a man feels loved and he gets fed well, you know, most men will go make the bacon, unless, of course, they've got developmental issues. You know, in other words, if they're not a man yet, well, then that's the first priority, right? you can feed a child and have sex with a child in an adult body, and they'll still be a child. And unfortunately, you know, our culture is full of men that are still, you know, pubescent boys in male bodies. So women feed them and make love to them, and then they just go play video games and buy more pills or get caught in buying more toys than they can afford. And next thing you know, mama's feeling the stress because there's not enough money to pay the bills, and kids aren't getting what they need, and that starts the spiral down. But oftentimes it's really a lot of these things I find, because I do tons of relationship coaching in my practice, I find that it really women are, they get frustrated when their man's not being a man.
That's
he's spending too much time being a boy.
That's right. And I had plenty of growing up to do, and I still do. My wife got a little upset last week. You know, I put myself on the internet a lot. Something went viral. These guys called me racist and white privilege, and really took me to task. And Yuri got wind of that, and she's, oh, the business, and you're putting the family in jeopardy. And I really had to take that to heart. You know, I'm Troy Casey, you know, coffee bar and Whole Foods and Erewhon Market. Hey, man, how's it going? You know, I wrote a book, you know, and not everybody's going to like that 100% of the time. And I had to kick back and look at it. One of my counselors is a nonviolent communication Native American teacher, really good guy, and really holds our feet to the fire too. And, you know, he really made me, you know, look at my responsibilities, and I was like, God, what do I need to learn about this? And ultimately, you know, I bounce around like I'm 20, and it's like I'm 54, and there's, you know, you say anything to someone on the street, the potential for them to say anything back is, you know, at 100%. So I don't need to be walking up to every Tom, Dick, and Harry and being Mr. President of Planet Earth or whatever little game I'm playing that day. So I really took it to task and really looked inside of myself. And, you know, people are coming from all different perspectives right now. There's race riots, there's mask wearing, no mask wearing. And so people are just mixed up like pasta primavera. I have to understand that a little bit better instead of being, what do you guys got the mask on for? You going to rob the place? Because they ended up getting me in, you know, in trouble. And so I had to look at that. I get to look at that. What was your specific question? Because I was going to lead into something else. The men's work.
Yeah, the men's work. Yeah.
So the men's work, I've been doing men's work for about 5 years now. And the one thing that I noticed that's just a beautiful thing is men don't need much. And we give them the ice bath. We give them some breath work, a little Qigong or Kung Fu, just a little movement here. I got a great Marine recon that I want to get on your show. You'll love him. Really powerful dude. And the guys, you know, they like a little movement. The ice bath is the great equalizer. And then we get around the fire. And truly, their 2 minutes to share what's on their chest is really all a guy needs. And the tears just start falling. No women around makes the men vulnerable. So I realized, you know, because some women are like, can women come too? And it's just like, and I brought a women's sexual kung fu teacher to a men's group one time, and everybody started peacocking. It was a shit show, and I'll never bring women to a men's men's group again. It just doesn't work. And so, men are more vulnerable when there's no females around. And I've, you know, you hear it all the time, whether a woman, you know, tricks the guy into getting pregnant or says she's pregnant or tries to take the kid away. I mean, guys go through a lot, and they don't talk to a lot of guys. We don't have a culture right now that really has that. And I've got four other colleagues in Los Angeles, Philip Folsom and the Wolf Tribe, Alpha Male our alpha man, Savage and Saint, Michael Holt. He's one of your students.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I love Michael Holt.
Dude,
yeah.
That guy's amazing.
He is amazing.
Michael Holt is amazing, Savage and Saint.
Yeah, I'm going to have him on the podcast one day.
Yeah, I saw him last week, and he said you guys chatted. And then of course, Elliot's doing his work, and we got Sacred Sons down here in San Diego. And it's really just – there's. I don't feel competition with that because we're all doing the same thing. Some mm-hmm. guys have more marketing. Some guys have more years. And I try and keep it simple, Paul, because I heard that people got fed up with Mankind Project because of too much Native American stuff and blah, blah, blah. So I just keep it simple. If we do off-grid stuff with sweat lodges, I have Indians come in. I'll just go in the sweat lodge, you know, with permission, you know, but I don't run any of that stuff. Mm. They're invited. They come, they have the, you know, all the capabilities of that. You know, and I keep it simple with the movement. I do, you know, big part of my work is the dream, purpose and legacy, getting the dream just zeroed in. You know, I got a good system now and it's in the book too. I am X, Y, and Z creating X, Y, and Z, just a rudimentary little piece of poetry or something to take them out into the world from their heart's desire. I coach them not to try and monetize it. Just what does the heart desire, and put that up on your refrigerator. And so that's the biggest part of my work, is just helping the men get their legacy piece. Mm-hmm. And we always have ice baths around, and that's always good training for men. Mm-hmm. But for me, I keep it simple. And then I hire people like Mick Dodge, the National Geographic did 39 episodes. He's the hairy guy that lives in the moss up in the Ho rainforest in the Olympic Peninsula. You never saw him?
No.
The legend of Mick Dodge. Guy's great. He's a strength training coach. He has barbells like made from the early 1900s with all oblong shapes. And he took the Onnit maces and welded them together. Mm-hmm. Like, he's really into like dynamic workouts. And he's got these hammer things that he swings. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
This guy, I mean, he calls himself the Barefoot Sensei. He's ran from the Olympic Peninsula to Tahoe 12 times in his life.
Wow.
It's like 500 miles barefoot. And so National Geographic got a hold of him and, you know, made him famous. But he's just a great dude. And he was on his way to Wim Hof, but he didn't have a formal introduction. He was going to bring him one of these hammers. And I was like, come to the man tribe, you know? And he's like, all right, well, I'll go to Wim and I'll come back. He blew off Wim Hof and came to the man tribe. And cool. He didn't want any money or anything. He wears elk skin and stuff. And
neat.
He walks around naked in the morning and stuff. He's just a dude, you know?
He's just
a great dude, you know? Yeah. And he's a strength training guy. He's got a good place up in Shasta. And I'd love to introduce you guys. You guys would get a kick out of each other.
And I walk around naked a lot, but when Angie's mother's here and I forget, I get chewed out by the girls. I was here the other day and I came to bed, and you know, my bathroom's at the other end of the house from Angie's bedroom, and I walked in the door and I was naked, and Angie looks at me, she goes, did you come here all the way across the house naked like that? I said, yes. I live here. She goes, you know, my mother's in the next bedroom. I said, oh my God, sorry, I forgot, you know. I said, but at least she'd know I practice what I preach. She'd know you got good taste. And she said, well, she might not see it quite that way.
Yeah, women don't.
It's like, you know, I tell her it's just a body.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think my porn mind, I was up in nature camping up there in the Olympic Peninsula. And I was dating a couple of girls during my divorce, and I sent them, you know, some naked pictures and stuff, thinking that they would get a big rise out of it. And it just doesn't faze them like us, you know?
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I'll look at a nice naked body of a woman any day of the week.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get a witness. I ended up sending it later to my wife, and I couldn't get her to budge. She's like, eh, it doesn't turn me on. I'm like, really? Okay. All right.
Everyone's different. You know, everyone's different.
Yeah. I'm sure there's women that love to look at that stuff. But again, I bet they're trained on porn.
It's hard to say. We have an interesting culture. Hi, everybody. I'm super excited to tell you about Symbiotica's Synergy D3 K2 CoQ10 product, which is really, really amazing. Tastes fantastic. Totally top of the notch. Source materials, best you can find anywhere, and totally synergistic. This is not an isolate product. And I am going to ask Sherveen, the formulator of the product, to tell you exactly what this product will help you with. Sherveen, how does D3 K2 CoQ10 enhance my life?
Well, it's like sunshine in a bottle.
Oh, I like that.
A Myron glass bottle, if you will.
Well, so that keeps the sunshine healthy.
Correct. So the sunlight is bottled within this bottle, so no UVA and UVB lights can get in it. But let's talk a little bit about D3K2. The synergy between those two creates power, creates energy, and it activates your immune system.
Beautiful.
It keeps you strong. Those two work together in, you know, the perfect synergy. That's why we call it synergy. At the same time, K2 is known for taking free-floating calcium out of your blood and out of your soft tissues, meaning your heart.
Yes.
And we know the leading cause of death in this world is heart disease.
Yes.
Which is, you know, calcified heart, calcified tissue. Mm-hmm. And it puts it where it belongs, in your bones. So this product right here is taking free-floating calcium, and putting it into your bones. It's turning your D3 immune system up. And we have ubiquinol CoQ10 in there, which is the strongest heart antioxidant. There's so many directions we can go with this, but just know this. This best-tasting formula, that's what it's rated at, is basically immunity, it's love, it's heart, it's connection, it's strength, it's vitality. It's all wrapped in one. We really knocked this one out of the park.
Sounds like something that we should use on a daily basis as a sort of a general bulletproofing.
100%. This is a daily used product. I like using it on the rise because it mimics the sun's activation on our skin, which turns on D3 production in the body. There's a method to this madness. We're doing things the right way. It's not a one size fits all. It's really understanding how our bodies work. And this one, this is amazing stuff.
Yes. I love the taste of it and I love the feel of it. So go to Cymbiotika.com, Cymbiotika, and on checkout, use the code CHECK15, all in caps, capital C, capital H, capital E, capital K, 15. While you're there, check out all their other amazing products and take advantage of your discount because your 15% is across the board. Enjoy. You know, I wrote the foreword for your book, and I'm just curious, maybe just give us an encapsulation. You kind of alluded to it. What's sort of the gist for the listener that hasn't seen the book? What's sort of the key principles that you're offering in the book? In other words, if someone takes the book and applies it, what are they really learning?
Foundation, first principles in physics, as they call it, immutable elements that when applied to biology, physiology, and psychology, they're going to have results. These are basics. Everybody needs them, healthy or sick, man, woman, or child.
Yeah.
You know, again, you wrote the Bible, so I didn't need to write something so specific, although I have at the end of the chapter each tools and exercises to people to use, but it has 9 pillars of health, good, 7 factors of stress. I threw in digital communications, good, because I don't think that was in when you wrote your stuff. And it's frying the brain psychologically. It's like going from one interface to the next. I know it because I'm on it, so it wears me out. So 7 factors of stress and 5 detoxification pathways. Mm-hmm. And and you're forward and the conclusion that love wins because I married my wife on ayahuasca and at the end of the book. And then I got some explanations about the codes and the symbols that I used for it, the divinity codes, as I call them, because mm-hmm. people get medicine right off the cover.
Yeah, it's cool. I love the geometry. You know, I've got a painting that Donald Carr gave me for my 50th birthday of me, and he has exactly that geometry coming out of my head.
Oh, nice.
So when I saw that, I go, oh, Troy's got the same geometry that Donald sees in my head. Cool.
And that's it. That's the divinity code or the Merkaba for the human being or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Soul body.
Yeah.
Spirit and soul. Well, it's been a great chance to catch up with you. I know a lot of people do know you and we've covered a lot of real life issues today. So, you know, everything from the challenges of relationships to the poisoning from mold to the perils of the modeling industry to the, you know, successes and ups and downs of the supplement industry and the herb industry and the beauty of ayahuasca and your new book. So we had a great journey. And where can people find more about your book or buy your book or find more of what you're offering?
RippedIt50book.com. You can get the book there. My Instagram has a link in my bio for my whole store. I have a Breath is Life course. I'll repattern the breathing mechanics, and that's doing very successfully.
You said your you link in your bio, but they're not reading your bio. So where do they
link in my bio and my Instagram?
Oh, in your Instagram.
Instagram. All my description boxes on YouTube. I've got
What's the Instagram address?
Certified Health Nut.
Oh, Certified Health Nut. Good.
So Certified Health Nut's branded across the internet. You can Google it.
Okay.
It'll take you to my Instagram where I'm most active. Mm-hmm. My YouTube channel. We're doing a lot of stuff there, and it's growing. I'm almost up to 100,000. I mean,
that's great.
It's going really well. I did some work with Elliot last year, and that propelled me. And my marketing team's doing amazing. So I got a stress management course, a Breath is Life course, and my book. And I'm easy to find. TroyCasey.com. I haven't even dealt with a website for years because I've been running everything off of social media.
Right.
But things are getting really big, and I'll have a button to click if people want coaching, so I don't have to do the marketing for that. If people want to work with me, they can just click a button. So TroyCasey.com will probably take you to everything eventually. I think my team's working on that right now.
Yeah, good. Well, congratulations on your recommitment and reconnection to your wife. I think that's really healthy and a great commitment to make. You know, I know when I got a divorce from my first wife, it wasn't because we didn't love each other. It's just we were together since we were 16.
Mm.
So we came to realize that we had very different needs that we didn't realize when we were kids, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was so completely and utterly focused on my mission being the Czech Institute. And, you know, I look back on it, it makes me sad. She just, you know, she was upset because I didn't spend enough time connecting to her and Paul Jr. And, mm-hmm. you know, that was painful. And I look back on it with sadness, but I also look back on it knowing I was really doing my best to add something to the world and to make something out of myself. And it's tough being a dad when you're 18 years old and, you know, trying to figure out how to feed a family and become somebody. And, you know, my parents didn't have any money. Her parents didn't have any money. And the last thing I wanted to do, because every fight in the house had, not everyone, but most of them were something to do with money problems.
Well, that's,
you know,
exactly what
it
happened.
It was a real pressure valve, right? And so I made this promise to myself as a kid, I will work as hard as I have to work to make sure money is not a problem, mm-hmm. because I've seen it destroy my parents' relationship. So when Sue got pregnant and then I became a father, I wanted to make sure my son did not have to go through what I had to go through. I didn't want him to have to wear dirty hand-me-down clothes and have, you know, we had to take baths in the same water because we had water shortages and we could hardly ever wash our clothes. And I just, like, I didn't want my son to go through that. So my pain oriented me as a father toward providing.
Mm-hmm.
So I really put my heart and soul into being a good provider, mm-hmm. only later to find out that it wasn't something that was being reciprocated back to me. It was more as though it was a problem, right? In other words, I don't want you to be such a good provider. I want you to be a daddy.
Well, and let me tell you, because I lived the opposite, and that doesn't work either. She wanted me to be a good provider. And I'm sure she appreciates me being a good daddy now. But yeah, I didn't have my money game on. And the divorce really helped me through that. And those things act as catalysts. But that was my thing. I wasn't earning enough.
Mm-hmm.
And
See, I was earning a lot, but I wasn't daddying enough.
Well, yeah, I get that. I was daddying too much and not earning enough.
Yeah, so there's the yin and the yang of it all.
And in retrospect, you know, I was no schlep. I live in Los Angeles, California. I have to make at least six figures just to be there.
Yeah.
And so it just, you know, came to my money game and really not having a lot of forethought. But now that I have and I've built it up, I've got now forethought in the future. And, you know, I plan on upgrading, you know, the systems beyond money. So in the meantime, I got to be fucking extremely successful.
Here's the thing. God is abundance. God makes universes for fun. So, you know, I've had various people say things to me like, how can you live in a house that big, or, you know, whatever their bent is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you know, I can take that side. I can be a minimalist, and in many ways I am. But I also know that God is abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made it my life to share my abundance with everybody. My library is service to the world. Mm-hmm. My home is service to the world. My gym is service to the world. It's my laboratory where I work things out so I can share it with people. And I found as long as our true intention is to reciprocate the gifts that are brought to us by Great Spirit, that the gifts will keep coming. Mm-hmm. And if our ego is trying to create status symbols or I'm better than you or dick measuring or with, you know, my car's better than yours, all that kind of crap, then it's, there's a set of teeth waiting for you at the end of that hallway, and it's going to ruin your relationship with yourself, with other people, and you're going to end up being, you know, typical Hollywood person caught in the jaws of trying to be cool. So
I'm riding the edge, bro. Riding the edge.
I'm always watching Troy. I saw the Rolls Royce out there. And I'm like, okay, here we go. He's got some Hollywood and some Osho, but at the same time.
Are you kidding me, dude? I went out and, sorry, not to call you Paul Check, dude. Yeah, I went out and sprung for a brand new full tracksuit from Gucci. And I'm going to wear it on TV the first chance I get.
That's the model.
And it fits me like an Italian glove. It looks like money all the way. Yeah. And I'm going to do my Qigong. Yeah.
Well, you know.
I'm waiting. I'm ready.
There's something on the menu for everybody, right? It's like I can't be everything for everybody. You know what my teachings are like. And there's people out there that get a lot more hits than I do and traction than I do. And many people are baffled by that. And I say, well, you know, the difference is my approach requires real work. I'm not offering any shortcuts, and I'm not trying to be anybody's guru. I'm just saying, if you want to get healthy, this is how you do it. If you want spiritual development, this is how you do it. But I'm not going to do it for you. And oh, by the way, there's no magic bullet. There's no shortcuts. All that's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
And I watch people getting rich off all the shortcuts and the gimmicks and the, you know,
quick fixes. Man, I feel sorry for Dave Asprey tomorrow. Dave, we love you, man. We love you. What you've done to bring health consciousness to the world is definitely good.
So. Well, you know, I really believe everybody has a piece of the truth, and everyone's doing the best they can to love the way they can. And we're all growing together.
Totally.
You know,
and Dave does amazing work. I give it up to Dave.
Yeah.
For what he's done. I mean, shit.
I think everybody's God. So if you remember that, it's easier to deal with it. You know, Donald Trump gives me lots of practice. There's God. Can you believe that? That's God right there. How's that for a magic trick?
Magic, and, alchemy, you know, all around us.
Hitler was God. You know, everybody that we despise is God. And, you know, when you can see that and know it's true, then you've made it to your fourth chakra at least. You know, and if you can't see that and you see an enemy, then you haven't looked into the mirror of self deep enough, and you need some good shadow work. And
I think I discovered that when I saw George Bush in the Amazon, and I was like, oh, everybody hates them. And I was like, God, he just actually needs more love. He's just a misguided brother, you know?
Yeah.
And and it's all God ultimately.
Yeah. So thanks for coming on and sharing. And you guys, I hope you enjoyed the conversation with the certified health nut.
Yeah, baby.
And he's honest about everything. That's one of the things I love about you. Me and you have had a lot of conversations. You never pull any punches. You never hide anything. You're always dead honest with me. So congratulations, because that's a real measure of spiritual growth, just to be able to be honest.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So I've achieved. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for all the support all these years. You've been a great, great supporter. You've brought me lots of great ideas and helped me with...
Got the Dave Asprey interview for you.
Yeah, you've helped me with marketing tips. You've done great, many efforts to try to get me on Joe Rogan.
We're going to make it.
It's going to require some God help. But, you know, I trust everything happens in the right time, you know. I don't try to push water uphill. I've sent him 3 books. I'm not going to walk to his door and beg. I just want to share. That's all, you know.
You'll be on there soon enough. But
you know, as it happens, it'll happen.
So I'm running for president of Planet Earth this year. I don't know if I told you. President of Planet Earth 2020. Yeah. My platform is clean air, water, soil, and equitable systems for all mankind. In my lifetime, my solutions for humanity are #free energy, gift economy, permaculture and self-care education. I win. It's not even a category. And Paul, you can be in my cabinet, bro.
Right on.
So as it starts, the circus starts to get a little bit more wonky and the Kanyes come out of the closet and start running for president, I'll just slip right in there.
Well, just know that running for president
of planet Earth.
Of planet Earth puts you right square into a very tough situation, because when you're taking on a task that big, it means your wife and kids aren't going to see much of you, and it's going to—you might as well just leave a gallon of ayahuasca at home, or you're going to come home to a chainsaw massacre, and you're going to be on the receiving end.
Oh God! Yeah, I'll keep the ayahuasca tight.
All right. Hey, lots of love. Thanks. I hope you all enjoyed the Certified Health Nut. He's really a lively guy to be around, and today you got a great sample. His book's really cool. I wouldn't have written the foreword for it if I didn't really believe that he was offering some beautiful gems in there. So that's my endorsement of the Certified Health Nut. Troy Casey, love you, buddy.
God bless.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Living 4D with Paul Check and today's guest, the Certified Health Nut, Troy Casey. Troy's new book, Ripped at 50, A Journey to Self-Love, is available online at bit.ly/rippedat50book. That's bit.ly/rippedat50book. You can also find Troy on Facebook at Mr. Troy Casey or on Instagram at Certified Health Nut. Don't forget to follow Paul on Instagram and Twitter at Living4D Podcast or on his YouTube podcast channel, youtube.com/Living4D with Paul Check. You can watch more on Paul's blog at paulchecksblog.com and at the Czech Institute's new streaming media site, Czechiva.com.